Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Welcome to Let's Get Busy, a weekly podcast where I talk shop and get down to business with authors, illustrators, kidlit notables, and everyone in between. I'm Matthew Winner, an elementary school librarian, author of the Busy Librarian blog, and your host. This is episode number 146 with Jennifer Ann Mann, author of the Sunny Sweet series published by Bloomsbury. Sunny Sweet Can So Get Lost is the newest installment, and in this story, the sisters spend the summer at camp. Math camp, to be specific, despite Masha's heart being set on going to a dude ranch over the summer. Which brings up the important question, have you ever been to camp? It's an experience nearly quintessential to childhood, or at least one which, to those of us who've been to camp, leaves a permanent impression on you for the better or worse. Camp is where I first shot a bow and arrow, learned to set a campfire, played the most amazing game of Capture the Flag, and discovered that I actually could just sign up for basket weaving classes and then spend the rest of the time hanging out at the tent, exploring the lake, and riding bikes from the counselor's cabins all the way to the camp store and back again. Amazing memories. Hey, so before I let you listen to this episode, I have to give you a sort of warning up front, though. We had an audio problem about halfway through, about at the 20-minute mark, where I record over Skype, and something was wrong with my internet connection, and it made my voice all choppy. And when Skype lags, it kind of shoves together. It cuts out all the spaces in your voice and shoves it all together, so the pitch changes, and it just, whatever, it's a mess. I Frankenstein back together a backup audio track that I had, but I wanted to let you know ahead of time, because halfway through, all of a sudden, the recording quality is going to change. But I loved the second half of this recording so much that I didn't want you to miss it. So please enjoy the episode in its entirety. Enjoy the listen. Hey, you know, maybe it'll bring back some memories for you as well of camp and of siblings. I know you'll certainly walk away excited to meet Jen's sibling characters. They're just wonderful. Here is episode number 146 of the podcast with Jennifer Mann. Let's get busy. Let's Get Busy podcast, Jennifer Mann. Hey, we're connecting. We're really doing this.
Hi, Matthew. We finally got it done. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so wonderful to talk to you. And I like that. I should just be honest with the listening audience and say that sometimes technology is an issue. And that was the first time we tried to talk. It wasn't the right time. Technology didn't want to cooperate. But it's that, I don't know, it's that human quality that I value about talking to anyone on this podcast, but that I'm already valuing about talking to you, that I feel like we had this great, authentic connection just over over technology frustrations and me being a media specialist and always wanting to help out with those sorts of things.
Yes, and you did help out. You absolutely helped out, and we did get it done.
Well, yay. Hooray for us. We did it.
We did do it.
Play that Dora theme song in the background. Jen, I'm so happy that we get to talk tonight, and maybe even more importantly that I got to meet you through a friend, and we can certainly talk about her, but also get to meet your books, because it's really a great pleasure to me when I get to be turned on to new books and see my readers while I'm reading these books. And just immediately with your Sunday Sweet books, immediately I was like, oh, I know the people I need to hand these books to. And that's a really nice thing. So, you know, just off the bat, thank you for however you do it, for having those readers in mind and for using your voice to tell the stories that they want to read.
Thanks, Matthew. I do love writing about sisters, and I love writing about siblings because they played such a great big part of my life. And I know for kids, you know, you're attached to them. There's nothing you can do. You can't get out of that relationship. So they're yours for life. So it's a great thing, I think, for kids to read about, you know, other kids who are also stuck in those relationships and the great things that can come out of them being stuck with one another. You know, so I love writing about it.
I love your phrase that they're yours for life.
They are yours for life. you don't get to choose them.
Jen, do you want to tell the listening audience a little bit about Sunday Sweet? We're up to book 3. Sunday Sweet can so get lost, but I'd love for you to maybe just describe kind of the arc of the story so far and maybe what's in store for the newest story.
Sure. So Sunny Sweet series is about two sisters, Masha, who's the older sister, she's 11, and Sunny, her younger sister, who's 6 years old. And Sunny is a genius. And according to Masha, she's an evil genius. And so in each of the stories, Sunny concocts some awful thing for her older sister to have to endure. And of course, Masha, being the older sister, works throughout the book to get them out of it. And so they're a fantastic pair together. I really adore writing about them. They really write themselves, to tell you the truth. You know, all I have to do is say, you know, what would Sunny do? And I absolutely know what Sunny would do. And then what would Masha do? And I know exactly what Masha would do. So they're awfully fun to write about. Yeah. Yeah, they're just so great.
It's such a treat to hear, because it's not something that I don't know that those of us who are not writing full time, I think it's hard to understand that idea, but it's not a new thing to hear. Like you're saying that these characters, you know them, that they write themselves, that you only need to almost, I don't even know how to say that, like pulling from your memories of these characters, I want to say, but it's not memories because they don't exist in the real world, but it's like they do, right?
Yeah, they do for me, especially they do. I mean, you just, I don't know. Of course, I'm the second of 4 sisters, so it's not like I don't know anything about sisters. So I draw from, of course, my own experience. Also, my older sister and the third sister, they're both geniuses. So it was very easy to make that slip. And my older sister is actually quite evil. So it was very easy to for my own life.
They're both genius. 2 of the 4 are geniuses. So you're kind of sandwiched between geniuses. My God, the pressure.
Are you not
a genius yourself? You are. Are you not giving yourself credit?
No, Matthew, I'm not a genius. And my youngest sister, Trish, and I used to always laugh because we never heard that conversation, or we'd love to have heard the conversation that our parents had. We're like, okay, well, Bonnie, we tested her. She's a genius. We tested Christine. But what do you think about Jen and Trish? Yeah, nah, don't bother.
Oh, no. That's horrible.
I'm totally teasing. Hopefully they didn't have that conversation. But yeah, they're, Masha and Sunny are easy to write for me because I grew up in a very, you know, loud, noisy household with my sisters. And I just love the experiences I had with them. Of course, I adore my sisters, even my evil one. And so writing about Masha and Sunny is just me reliving all those things. So it's been so much fun. And, every book is just a new adventure between the two of them. And the last one, which comes out in, October, 2015. And that is actually a ghost story. And so that was a lot of fun to write.
The fourth and last is a ghost story.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I know.
All right.
Yeah. I never tried to write one of those before. So it was fun.
Does it actually, you can't spoil this. That's fine. But I love that we potentially, well, no, I guess it's Sunny. I know Sunny. So she's going to figure it out. She's a genius. She's going to figure out, get to the bottom of this ghost thing. I wonder if she'll be afraid. I love this. Oh, yay, exciting. Hey, wait, I want to talk about these characters because I love them, but I'm immediately drawing connections to your family. So now I need to know about your evil sister. How is your evil sister evil?
Do you have siblings?
I was the oldest, and my brother is 3 years younger than me, and my sister was 7 years younger than me. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm separated enough that I didn't get to see evil come out.
Well, I guess, yeah, you were in other words, you were a good big brother.
I hope so. I don't know. Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, you can ask later. My older sister was pretty evil, and she just did horrible things to us growing up. And
really?
Yeah, like I love doing classroom visits because I love telling all the kids about the horrible things she did. And then I get so many great stories from them. Like we can actually spend the entire like class just talking about the terrible things they've done to their brothers and sisters. And
oh, they can say, oh my gosh.
I've learned such great things to do, but she used to do this one thing where she would say that she was the strongest woman in the world, and then she would chase us around. She was the oldest, so she was always our babysitter. She would chase us around the house, and then she would hold us down, and she would put her knees on our shoulders, and then she would hold our heads, and then she would gather spit in her mouth, and then she would let the spit hang down until it touched.
Ew! Your sister was evil, Jen. Ew, she was evil.
And you couldn't scream because you'd get the spit in your mouth. So you had to keep your mouth closed. So you couldn't even call for help. I know another great thing that she used to do. Well, she used to take our toothbrush every morning and she'd throw our toothbrushes into the toilet. So that was fun. I could go on and on, Matthew. I could spend our entire thing talking about the things that she did to us growing up. But
I know you're pouring some of these ideas into Sunny Sweet, but like you've got, you know, like serious knucklehead potential here. You know, John Cheska has that great autobiography, Knucklehead, about growing up with, what is it, 5 or 6 brothers, maybe 5 brothers, whatever the number was. Tap into that. Like House of Girls, how many years difference are you? You were the second, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm the second. So she was 3 years older than me. So kind of like, you and your second one. So there's 3 years between us. And then after that, there was 2 years between myself and my third sister. And then after that, 4 years. So we were a little bit spread out, too, but not totally.
She enacted the evil on all.
Yes, she did. And
what a great – do you ever thank her now for, like, all of the amazing stories that she's helping to fuel?
Totally. Adversity does that to you. It makes you a writer, right? In fact, sometimes my sisters will try to, you know, because Sunny is kind of an amalgamation of, a few of them. Like, I always say that the cuteness in her is my youngest sister, Trish. And then, you know, the brilliance in her is my third sister, Christine. And then the evil in her is my older sister, Bonnie. But anyway, we are actually taping this so they could hear that. But they always argue to themselves, like, who is, you know, which part of Sunny are they? But that's kind of the parts they are.
Does that make you Masha?
Oh, well, always the long-suffering Masha, I guess. It's my way of getting them back, I guess, Matthew, that every single time that Masha figures it out. So
I love that you've written, and this maybe just calls upon my childhood and maybe an experience that I hope all kids get. But I love that in the newest book, In Sunny Sweet Can So Get Lost, which is out now. I love that that the girls go to camp.
Yes.
The math camp.
Yes, I know. Sunny takes them to math camp, I know, and Masha wanted to so much go to that dude ranch and ride horses, and she ends up at math camp. But in the end, she has a fantastic time, so maybe I shouldn't give that away, but she has a fantastic time. So I've never been to camp, so that was really hard. I had to do a lot of research.
You went on camp?
I did. I went to camp. We didn't even get to spend the night. So my third sister, Christine and I, we went to camp, we got there and we were taking our first hike and someone threw a rock, not at anyone, but just like up in the air, and it came down and hit Christine on the head. And so she had to get like maybe 10 stitches. And so they had to call my mom and we had to go home. So that was my camp experience. Yes. So I never got to go to summer camp.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm pulling from which is what you do, right? You either are reading a book and gaining that experience because books afford us that opportunity to experience, a multitude of things that you could never experience alone or in one lifetime. But then there's also that connection that, oh, I've been to camp and, oh, this is, I remember like qualities of this and that. And for me, it was going to like Cub Scout and Boy Scout camp and some different stuff that we did in middle school. And, yeah. And we could talk nostalgic about stuff like that as well. And there's also, I don't know what research you did, but it just makes me excited because the concept of camp is a fun thing for me, right?
Yes.
Because like, it's a world all to yourself. It's like when I was younger on Nickelodeon, there was this show called Salute Your Shorts,
mm-hmm.
which was all about being at camp. And then we had, you know, Wet Hot American Summer and we, which is very different.
It's very different. Yeah.
But This American Life did a whole thing. I don't know if you heard their special about camp too. Have you heard?
No.
The episode? That's something you should look up.
Yeah.
Which is just even that way that we kind of become different people when we're just with others like us and away from our, not away from authority. It's different authority. The authority shifts just like when you're in school, the authority shifts from parents in some way to teachers. But at camp, the bonding is just different. You kind of get to know your true self. And that's what's going on with this story too. When you have to be away from parents, you kind of have to, I don't know, you have to make decisions yourself, don't you?
You do, and it gives you a chance. I mean, this is from my research because I never did get to do it, but it seems like it gives you a chance to reinvent yourself a little. Like if in school and you're growing up in your neighborhood and, you know, everyone knows you, maybe they know your family and your siblings and, you know, your background. But when you go to camp, it seems like it's a place that people don't know you. And so you can, at least for a month or 2 weeks, however long you go, kind of try another, you know, personality out or, you know, try to, you know, find another part of yourself to show people. And, that's what seemed most interesting to me is that to have that chance, like in the summer and then to look forward to that chance again, like the following summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when you do return, then it's that time capsule that these friends are some of the same friends and definitely the same grounds and things will be there again. And you get to pull upon this experience that no one else except for the people at that camp get to pull from.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of friends who talk so fondly at camp. It's not even funny. It just makes me yearn for it, you know.
Yeah.
Because they had such a good time and did go back to camp like over and over to the same camp year after year. And then of course become a counselor at it and things like that.
Right. I think that is a pretty common thing, isn't it? To kind of those people that connect that deeply to go on. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's another great thing about writing books is that, you know, I didn't get to live that life, but then I get to talk about that life and learn about that life. And that's the same thing I did with the fourth book. Like, I'm not really a scary movie person. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't really like the idea of ghosts and scary things. Like, I feel like the world's kind of scary enough. So I just never really got into that. I actually do remember being a kid, you know, maybe being like 12 years old and watching a piece of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and then thinking, like, I can't do this. Like, this, I can't handle this. And so I never really tried again. So writing this, the ghost story was still fun because then I got back into it and like, I braved some really scary stuff. Like, you know, I braved all the Goosebump books for instance. I don't know if you've read them, but I have to say they were a lot scarier and freakier than I ever thought they could be. No wonder kids love them.
I think I read one or two when I was younger. My brother was obsessed with them. But I mean, even hearing you talk about this, I just need to be upfront with you and tell you, this was like the same thing that happened when I interviewed Jonathan Oxier, who wrote The Night Gardener. I get so freaked out even at the thought of a scary story that for me, the idea that you would even write it and like commit to spending time in that world is beyond me. I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, well, I know kind of like the idea.
Well, see, the process has to be different, but go ahead. Yeah, please.
Well, I guess I liked the idea of Sunny bumping up against, you know, like the science in Sunny bumping it up against like the unknown and things that she didn't know about or couldn't be explained. And so it, that seems like it could make for some funny stuff and, you know, maybe a little growing on Sunny's part, you know, that you can't know everything. And that's how it kind of started, the idea. But then I have to say I got into it. I watched a lot of scary movies. I watched all those silly, you know, Ghost Hunter. They have like these episodes, Ghost Hunter, and I watch them. And I will tell you right away, they never find a single ghost. All they do for like a half an hour in any scary location is say like, shh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And they have an entire, like, I think there's six seasons of that. I'm just like, how do they keep getting picked up? If I were an actor, an actress, I would think, like, this is what's out there. Like, you work so hard, you go to school, you study, you put yourself out there, and these guys say, shh, shh, did you hear that? Like, they get six seasons, you know? It's absolutely crazy. But I have to say, I had a good time watching it, so obviously other people do too, because they're out there doing it, so... but it was a lot of fun. I loved the ghost story. I had so much fun doing that one.
Yeah, what a great bit of like research. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like just the idea of researching anything. It's fun, but you get this experience of getting to, I don't know. It's almost like if you have an interest, you get to pursue it to write. I'm just hearing you right now saying that, you know, you never went to camp, but here you get to research it. You get to send these characters that you know off to camp to have these experiences that will for you. I don't know. It's just a neat thing here. My brain's just really struggling to understand it.
It is actually a really cool thing. You know, the best part of being a writer is that you spend your days just, you know, in another world, and that world can be, you know, a world you are familiar with, which is camp, which I wasn't, but now, you know, of course didn't go there, but I'm very familiar with it. Or, you know, wrapping it around a ghost story, like what scares us, like asking that question, like what scares us, and then going out and watching other people, you know, get scared or scare others. And it's just so cool. And then you know, every book that I write, whether it's contemporary or, you know, I guess when we think of like historical fiction or something like that, we think, oh, that's a lot of research. Or, you know, maybe we don't think of it that way for like a contemporary book, but it's all research. And I'm sure picture book writers, they might write 500 words, but I bet they spent a lot of time researching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all research. So what are you working on now? What comes after Sunny that you're like getting into that, I don't know, maybe even researching for fun or just, I don't know, what comes next?
I actually have a historical fiction coming out with Cockheads Creek in 2016, so spring. It'll be, I believe, April 7th, 2016 is the date. And it's a novel about the Revolutionary War, a battle in the Revolutionary War, and two young boys who fight in the battle. They're enemies. One, his name is Scar, and he's a Mohawk, and the other is a colonial boy named Noah, and they meet on the battlefield. Actually, they meet at the end of the battle, and they're both wounded, and it's about their night that they spend trying to survive after the battle.
Oh, wow. What? Tell me again, what's the title of the book?
The book is called Scar. Scar, and it's it takes place in 1779 after the Battle of Minisink, which was a very small but extremely bloody battle that took place in upstate New York.
Is that around where you're from? How do you know about this story?
I'm not from there. I was actually visiting a friend, and she wanted to take a walk in the woods. And, of course, I said yes. So we went out behind her house and started walking, and we came upon, like, a little plaque, and it was, like, something about a battle. She didn't really know about it. It was some old trails she had heard about that we walked on. And then we kept walking, and we found another plaque. And this one was screwed into a big stone, and it said here, on July 22nd, 1779, Dr. Tustin and 17 others lost their lives. And that's all it said. And I was just, I don't know. It was really intriguing to me that I could go and take a happy walk on a summer day and come upon a plaque or a place in the woods where 18 men had died. And so I just couldn't get them out of my head. And so I kept thinking, you know, who were they? So I started finding out, like, who these men were. And I just got completely intrigued with the battle. It was a teeny tiny battle that, did not decide really anything, but it was obviously played a very large part in the lives of the men who fought there. Almost half of them died who fought in the battle. So it was a pretty gruesome battle. And there was some, there was one big name in it. His name was Joseph Brant. He was a Mohawk. And it just, the Mohawk people themselves and the Iroquois in general, the Six Nations, their story in the Revolutionary War was such, is such a sad one. And such a, you know, a hard story because they really got caught between the Americans and the British. And they didn't know which way to turn. They tried to stay neutral for the longest time, but in the end, four of the six nations actually went with the British, and that was one of them were the Mohawks that went with the British. And in the end, of course, it's a sad story because when they lost, they really lost all their lands.
So, everything.
Yeah, they lost everything.
It's fascinating that a walk in the woods can happen, you know, upon a story that you just get to share with people. I don't know, I just, keeping your eyes open and just listening for stories, it's something of what interests you, what you can share with people. That's going to be a fascinating story when you finish
reading. I did,
it.
You know, I'm just editing it now, so.
Congratulations, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, actually. It's a very sweet book, and it's a sad book, but it's also a very sweet book, so I'm looking forward to it seeing the world.
Wow, way to go, buddy. That's cool.
Thanks.
That's really cool. Oh, can it be 2016 already? Come on.
Well, it's such a nice difference writing about, you know, it was such a nice difference going to historical fiction. And it was such a, you know, just a big difference leaving my, you know, leaving Sonny and Masha and going to Noah and Scar, like different characters. Because I'd been writing about Masha and Sonny since 2011. So I, you know, those four books seemed to take over my life for such a long time that it was actually so weird to move to another subject. Sad too, but exciting. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. I'm sure that like your critique group and everyone else that's read it is, you're getting this great feedback but to have something just different to write about is, I mean, there's an invigorating quality to it, I'd imagine.
Yes. So I'm pretty much done with it. So next, I'm not exactly sure where I'll go, but I liked the YA aspect. I liked it was a little bit freeing. Sometimes with middle grade, you're really need to keep on your toes and thinking. And with YA, you're a little bit more freed with the older kids. So it was also different moving from middle grade to YA. So I think next I'll probably take on, you know, another young adult. So see how that fits. And I think I'll go back to contemporary just because that's fun too.
Oh, and you know, you've got, you know, your kids are around that age too. And I like the idea of writing you know your children so well, you know that age so well. And your readers are growing up, so I don't know. That kind of stuff's always cool to me.
Yes, that's true. And of course, in my house for years and years, we also had not only my own children, but we always had international students.
You were saying that.
Yeah, so I've been around teenagedom for a long, long time, and I adore it. So,
is teenagedom similar worldwide, internationally?
It absolutely is.
Is it really? Hormones don't discriminate, apparently.
No, that's it. Just all the troubles and the, you know, just it's all there for them. Yes, it doesn't matter if you're from China or you're from Arizona, you know, you're struggling with the same issues. You know, it's actually refreshing to see. It's refreshing to see, you know, to bring them all together and to see that they're all struggling with the same things. You know, it's helpful. And it was a way for me to recreate like the big family that I grew up in without having to produce them myself. So
being able to send them away after some time. Well, I imagine too, though, that I would imagine that the way that you welcome these children into your life for a period of time, because I know that these visits can last up to like several months, that you do, if you're keeping contact with them, you do have quite a large, I don't know if you call it a extended family or.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've done it for years and years, and we still know every single one of those, the kids who've lived with us. And, yeah. And they don't just live for a few months. We had one, student live with us for 3 years. So
3 years. Yes. That practically was your child then.
I know. It's funny. They come and they never leave. Yes. But we're only joking. We absolutely loved it. So we loved having them all. So they're just, it's a fun way to live. And it was we didn't have, you know, the money to travel ourselves so much. And we wanted to be able to show our kids the world. But that's expensive. And so this was a way to bring the world to them. So they got to meet kids from all over the world and have all these brothers and sisters and get to see all these cultures firsthand. And they were living in their own house.
That's something that I think that your kids are incredibly, it's an incredible gift to be able to give them, that they get to experience different cultures that way with these students. I mean, so many children don't. There are some schools where, you know, there's diverse representation represented in the schools, but having someone live with you is a completely different thing altogether. And I don't know. I mean, it's a really neat thing. I would imagine your kids are quite global thinkers and culturally, culturally sensitive or culturally aware to, they're probably just all the better and more well-rounded for it.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. You know, and I think that they are so, cause they're my kids. So I think of course that they are, but, it is very helpful to invite all those cultures in and watch them mix and, you know, one of these days I'll write a story about that, but I'll wait and see.
Hey, so I've been dancing around this and I don't know how to, casually bring her up. So I'm just going to outright bring her up because I know your friends and I like her too. I want to talk about Jen Malone because she's a special, special person.
She's so special.
You must live. Do you live close to one another? Can you be able to see one another?
Yes. I mean, we live very close to one another and we do get to see one another. I mean, she's been very, very busy with lots of things on her plate right now. And I know she's got her launch coming up for her new series that's coming. Mm. So RSVP. So that's really exciting. So we haven't seen each other in a few weeks, but I'm hopefully going to get to see her this weekend. So
is it nice to sort of have an author friend, someone? Great to have any friend as we do, but I always find there's a different quality to my teacher friends because I'm able to kind of, without having to explain so much of a backstory, I'm able to just pick up with teachery kind of stuff. And specifically with my library friends are ideal to talk to.
Right,
because
right.
Of the universalness of the experience, yeah.
And you know, Jen is fantastic to talk to. But here in Boston, we have such a great children's writing group of a group of writers. We all get along. We try to meet once a month just to chat and catch up with each other, see what we're all doing and things like that.
Good for you. Is it the whole group? Is it a pretty large group meeting once a month?
It is a pretty large group.
That's awesome.
Everyone tries to get in as much as they can. We don't all show up for every single meeting. It's very relaxed, but I would say there's 15 of us at least.
Oh, my word. All writing at different levels too?
Right, yes. Middle grade, young adult, and you know, a lot of us are, you know, dabble in all three of those. So, I mean, it would be my dream to dabble in picture book, but I haven't dabbled there yet, but one of these days that would be my dream. But yes, everyone writes everything. And it's very supportive, very supportive. But you know that about the industry in general. It's just a supportive industry.
Right, right. I mean, all of it. I mean, everyone involved in it. I love when it comes up on here. It's just everything. Even the publicists that I've met. I don't think I've ever even thrown it out to them. The publicists I've met have become like friends of mine. And I feel like it's more kind of a librarian quality that they tend to connect me with people that they think I would really enjoy in their book. And in general, they're right. And I see myself in it in the way that I'm looking at it now, that looking for the right book for the right kid. And here it is. We're looking for the right home or host for some of our talent. And I don't know, everyone's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jen Malone is one of the coolest.
Oh, yeah. And she's all into the marketing stuff too. And so you get to see, maybe that's why I'm thinking of the publicists and stuff too, but she, to have a friend who can be a friend and talk straightforward about a topic that potentially could be kind of icky. The marketing stuff can feel a little icky. And if it's necessary, but it's sometimes hard to put your stuff out there that way. I mean, I don't know what it is like for you. I know as a librarian, we're pushed all the time to, well, if we don't market and stay visible, then our profession is just going to risk going away. But that's also a hard thing to do for people that focus so much on the children and maybe not as much on adults. Well, adults are harder to talk to is what it is.
They are totally harder to talk to. But I think it's so funny that you know, as a librarian, I feel like it's like the profession that you should be like left alone and in quiet. And here you're saying that you have to get out there and like sell yourself. Oh, yeah. Like it's such a strange thing. I feel like it's the same with children's books. Like as a writer, I am very at home and quiet and, and so it's fun to watch somebody like Jen because she's such a master at this other side of the business that it's really phenomenal to get to watch her do what she does because it is hard and it is hard for a lot of us, but she makes it look like it could be fun. And so I have that hope always, like, oh, maybe I'll have fun at it too. Maybe I'm going to have a good time one day with this. So, because she makes it look that way.
Well, there are, I don't know. If it weren't for connecting with Jen, I know that I wouldn't have connected with you, but there's also a quality there to your stuff that I think that other authors listening, I know a whole wide array of people listen to this, so you know we're all from different professions and stuff. But the way that you reached out to me was just perfect, Jen. I felt like we were connected right away, and I valued that we connected right away. I valued that we connected over Twitter, and that we met over email, and that there is this level of infinite niceness of the industry, or whatever, the kindness of the industry. There's a quality of friends vouching for friends that if you're a good person, a lot of people are going to talk about what a good person you are. And that's going to, you know, you're going to stay on people's minds. That's the kind of stuff that you don't ever lose. That this is an industry, if you will, that everyone is lifting everybody else up. So you lift some people up and they'll lift you up and we're all here because we all have the same end goal. We all want our kids to be reading good books. So why wouldn't you lift everybody else up?
Yes, that is so true. And we want all of us to be reading good books, you know, and we want our kids to see us reading good books. And also, too, Matthew, I always do what Jen Malone tells me. So
I always do what she tells me. Well, hopefully she didn't coach you in my final question, but we shall see. Jen Malone, I know you're listening. Jen, it has been a pleasure talking to you, but before you go, in all seriousness, I would love to hear your response. So I'm assembling an all-star kid lit dream team kickball tournament, and I would love to know what one person, alive or past, you would want on your team from the kid lit world and why.
I will say that kickball was my favorite sport.
Yay! I don't meet people like you very often. You are part of my tribe, Jen.
I love kickball. Like, I can still smell the ball. Like, I can smell that rubber ball. Like, I absolutely loved it. And every time I got up to kick the ball, I thought, this is the time. Like, this is the time. I'm going to kick it straight. And it's going to soar over everybody's head. And, you know, it's so funny because I never did very well. And I don't know if I ever did kick it over anyone's head. But I was very hopeful every single time I got up, you know. So I am into the kickball game, and since I want to win that game, not only joking, I want to pick Mia Hamm so much. You know, she has done a couple of kids' books. She's you know, she's like the best women's soccer player in the world. But I'm going to go with my heart, because that's what you do when you write for children. And I'm going to pick Dorothea Warren Fox, because she wrote the first book I ever loved. And that was called Miss Twiggly's Tree. I don't know if you know it.
No.
Yeah, you have to check it out.
I will.
Twiggly's
Tree.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal book. It's just a beautiful book. And I remember the day. I never really liked reading, and I always felt like I wasn't very good at it, and I was a reluctant reader. And my sisters were always ahead of me, and so that could have been part of it too. So I kind of held back a little bit. And I remember Miss Bryant, my librarian, she asked me like what I liked, and I told her that I liked forts. And so she gave me Miss Twigley's Tree, and it's about a woman who lives in a tree fort, and she's really, really shy, and she lives with her dog, and she lives with bears, and it was a gorgeous book, and of course, I have like 10 copies of it in my library today, and I still read it, so you'll have to check it out. So
I will. I picked Dorothea Warren.
I picked Dorothea Warren Fox on my team, my kickball team.
That's a fabulous recommendation, and also to bring someone that you in a sort of way have been carrying with you your whole life, I think is a really special connection.
Yes, yes. And it would be so great to meet her. So, thank you for the kickball game.
And I look forward to meeting you someday too, because this kickball game, Boston, maybe Boston? I don't know. Maybe we can get, what's Peter Reynolds' store? Is it Blue Bunny?
Yeah, is it Blue Bunny? It's something Bunny.
It's out that direction.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe we can get an official indie bookstore sponsor of the podcast. Yeah, just get some good people together. That's all that matters. It's been a pleasure talking to you. You're a really good person, Jen.
Thanks, W.
And I'm glad that we got a chance to talk. Hey, good luck with all that's coming in the future, with Scar and with wherever writing takes you. And because it's taking you really fun places, and it's great to hear about it all. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Matthew.
Like what you hear? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a comment on the blog at lgbpodcast.blogspot.com or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes through stars or reviews. Doing so not only gives me helpful feedback, it also helps to bring new listeners to the podcast, and that's a very good thing. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's Koko Sleep, and I'll see you there.